We are we're discussing Syriana, Presentar,
Nancy,
Anne,
Terry,
Richard,
Jane,
Paul,
and you,
and Mark.
Sorry. Oh. So where were we? What was that? That one.
Did anybody understand it?
Understand it.
I think so.
Did everybody see it?
Yes.
Hey, everybody saw it. All right.
That's the first.
Did everybody see 3 days of the Condor?
Yeah.
Long time ago.
That's
Robert Redford.
Yeah.
Fade Dunaway.
I didn't think of that film.
It came right up to me.
It did.
That film, because it's
really?
It's about oil, and it's about a CIA guy who finds out that
that
somebody's pulling strings that they shouldn't be pulling.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't find it out immediately. He finds it out later after he kills it. Figures out why everybody killed it. So that's a good film, but I kept comparing this film to that, and what this film had to say, and what that film had to say. I like bits of this film, but I thought it could have been much better than it was. I thought it was really poorly written. The bit about the two Arab kids who were living in another country, guest workers in another country.
Pakistani.
That whole
Pakistani.
Yeah, but that whole thing had nothing to do with what was going on in the film, and it ended up having nothing. I thought, you know, all these characters are going to come together in the end in some way. You know, they're going to interface in some way.
Well, no,
the kids, they ran into a boat. You don't even know who's on that boat.
It was an oil tanker.
It was a tanker.
An oil tanker.
So, what's that got to do with anything else?
It's all about oil. It's all about
oil. I know, but... I thought, following these two kids, I mean, I think it was just gratuitous explaining how kids can, you know, be worked up by, you know, Islamic schooling to do whatever. It's kind of like, I was comparing that to Paradise Now.
Yeah.
And thinking that even as lightly as it treated how quickly they got into being suicide bombers and easily convinced they were to be suicide bombers, I found that much more believable than what these kids were. I felt that you're just setting these kids up, you know, by having them getting beat up in line, then going to the Islamic school, and then being taken aside by the leader and groomed to be, you know, suicide bombers. Well, why do we need to know that? We know about suicide bombers. We know that that's going on. What's that got to do with this intricate plot involving, you know, these CIA and this big oil company and whatever? It just didn't have anything to do with it. And then the Matt Damon thing and George Clooney thing, they did come together at the end there, but that's it, you know.
Then it's over.
Yeah, it's over, you know. It just wasn't as rich as I think it could have been, you know. There's so much there that you could work with, and it just
is there
a lot of nice performances by a lot of nice actors, but it just
Is there anybody who loved it?
Well, I thought it was excellent. I really did. Well, but when, you know, when you mentioned 3 Days of the Condor, yes, I love that film. And when I compare the two, there really is no comparison. Even though I think in many ways I think Syriana was probably better, because I think it was more realistic. Ooh.
I think you're right about that.
Yeah.
3 Days of the Condor is kind of romanticized.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in terms of working as a film and moving you, I think it did a much better job, whereas this was much more realistic.
Yes.
You're right about that. Yes, I agree with you there.
People are comparing this to Traffic. I think it's the same script writer, right? But the difference is Traffic had characters you could follow and you wanted to know what happened, you know, and this was sort of cold, I thought. It didn't have that. I mean, you didn't really care about anybody. I found it hard to understand.
How to track it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Paul understood everything, and he liked it, but I didn't. And I didn't understand a lot of it. But while it was going on, I wasn't, even though I didn't understand it, I wasn't, like, bored thinking, when is this thing going to be over, or anything like that. But I'm also just getting tired of conspiracy theories. And I started thinking I wish Lenora was here because she was talking. I don't think you were here that night when we were talking about the Constant Gardener.
I was saying this reminded me of Constant Gardener.
And I really like the Constant Gardener. She didn't like it as much. And I'm coming around to her point of view about the end of that because of this. Because, you know, I'm not afraid of the conspiracy. It's like it had, you know, for a while, all you ever saw was heist movies gone bad, and now
since
everything's a conspiracy, and I'm just like,
yeah. Well, I think the conspiracy movie is a long tradition, and this is just the latest, you know, entree into that tradition. And I think Constant Gardener was the most recent one we saw that was like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that I don't remember Three Days of a Condor, and I should probably get that
I've
out.
I've never seen it.
And look at that, because I don't. If I saw it, I don't remember it, and if I. You know, so that's
it's
not good.
It's a bit dated. You know?
Sure.
But it's good.
And I like conspiracy movies.
Max von Sydow.
Yeah, good.
Yep. And the way turning his character at the end was really interesting, too.
Yeah, and Faye Dunaway.
Yeah, I like all those people.
Faye Dunaway was in it, but I don't think I've seen. Maybe I saw it like years and years ago.
Well, that's a long time ago, right?
Carrie, what did you think, Sarianna?
I enjoyed it, but I didn't. I thought it was just more of the same in some respects, you know. And it was here we go again, you know. And it was that was, you know, the one scene in there that I found very difficult was when they had him duct taped to that piece of plank and.
The torture scene.
Yeah, that was a tough one for me.
He pulled out his fingernails?
Yeah.
For example, yes.
For example. Some of the things they were doing.
He almost lost his head,
Came real close.
I felt, as I was watching this film, I felt that I had to admire it because so many good people are in it and so many good scenes and so much show. But as it went on, I was thinking, I want it to be over more than you even did.
It's too intellectual, rather than it doesn't get you somehow.
Well, it's not even so intellectual. It's testing your intelligence to follow five tracks at once, as you do in a book. But in a book, you can
go back and forth.
You can go back and forth.
You can go back and forth.
Here are these six tracks, six actions in different places, and they're all going to come together, yes, eventually. But in the meantime, you have to concentrate. I couldn't concentrate.
I didn't work so hard.
You know, if it's intellectual, it's deeper instead of broader. You know, that's the way I felt about this.
And what was the deal with William Hurt? You know, I expected. I saw. You know, he came on screen, and I was like, "All right, this guy's gonna
clear everything up."
Yeah, he's. You know,
I forget what.
Well, where's he at? I keep on wondering where the hell.
I like performances. Like, what's it, Cooper?
Oh, Chris Cooper. He was good.
I've liked him a lot recently in things I've seen him.
I like how versatile he is, and how
I don't know who he was or what he was doing, but I liked his performance.
Let's go back to William Hurt, because there are a couple things we talked about before the recording started, and I wanted to see if we could recap those.
Right.
So one was we were watching it just before now, and so people were confused about, we were having the debate over whether the drowning, the electrocution in the pool was part of any conspiracy or was it merely an accident. Right?
Yeah.
But what does it prove?
And what was its point?
Either way, what's the point?
So I was saying that the electrocution was an accident, and it was merely a device to keep them, to have a reason why Matt Damon would get invited back. You know, they would need to make good to Matt Damon rather than just have that meeting in the hallway.
That was the brush off.
That was the brush off meeting.
It was a plot contrivance
to have a way for him to come back and to be in a different power position relative to those other guys. It was so. And here's a Lenore style comment, and that is
the what?
This is a Lenore style comment, if I may, or at least I'll channel some part of her. I'll be my version of this, and that is this was so much about men and their pecking orders. and there was nothing about, there were no women other than that one mother who cries.
Good
and
point.
The woman who acts like a man because she's a CIA person.
Right.
And that's all the women there were.
Right.
And it was all about male pecking order and power and intrigue and, you know.
Very good what, channeling.
That's
very
good channeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
But I didn't
yeah.
say it
yeah.
quite
yeah.
loud enough, I don't think.
Or pissed off enough.
Or pissed off enough
is
this. I leave that to your imagination.
Well, I'm sick of it.
I know you can do that.
I'm sick of it.
You impersonate people, and you can do it.
Oh,
I'll work on it for the next one. Okay.
Yes,
let me get
can
that
she?
Yeah, I agree with you. I do also believe that it was just an accident, and just a device. And even though it was just a device, and I think you could be critical of the film for that mm-hmm. reason, I didn't care. You know?
Yeah. It just like, I didn't mind it that it was a device, but I didn't find it part. I didn't try to interpret it as part of the great conspiracy.
Yeah.
Of the other stuff that was going on, like what we're seeing on the screen right now, where they're handing off the picture mm-hmm. of the guy, right? And the other thing we were talking about off mic, was...
Remember this scene, please. I want to ask you something.
Okay.
I saw everybody.
The other scene we saw, I can't remember his name, Bernard Holland. Is that what he calls himself? The attorney? The black attorney?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mr. Holland? He comes into his house, and there's his father, you know, this older black man sitting on the stoop, and we find out it's his father. And people, was it Rudy or Jane, was saying, what's he doing there? Is his father homeless? Why? But he lives there, but why doesn't he live there? And I made this, what was the comment I made that you said was racist? Oh, that wasn't the one.
No, that wasn't the one. It has to do with...
Let me finish
the
about
technology.
Back to the previous thing.
Right.
Good, okay. Because I think I'm reflecting what they want us to interpret,
right?
The extreme that they want us to interpret. So rather than that it was the conspiracy theory, I'm saying they were overcome by Western technology where they had installed all these cameras and right, all the cameras
and
around.
Beating on the remote.
And he was mad,
right.
Yeah, he was
right.
Shouting at the remote, banging on the table, trying to get it to work. The Emir's assistant, one of those helper people. And they said, and then they call over the son who'd been educated at Harvard and Oxford to fix the remote. And just in time, he figures out, oh, not only is the camera not working,
there's something wrong
with the electricity. This is an alarm. Turn off the electricity right before Matt Damon jumps in the pool.
Right. Right.
So it's the Harvard-Oxford guy, the not good son, the son who's not going to be accepted, who doesn't favor the Chinese, who figures out how to work the Western technology. But I said it's the great Satan taking over, mm-hmm. Overcoming them. And you said that was a racist comment.
The technology, yeah. Yeah, I thought it was, I think you're going for too much symbolism, Eric. Too much, you're giving it much more credit than it.
Okay, I'll do one
maybe,
more.
No, maybe you're. Maybe,
I'll do
maybe,
one more.
Maybe you're right.
Okay, I'll do one more and then I'll shut up. And that was the one about the father, the homeless alcoholic father of Bernard Holland or whatever mm-hmm. the guy's. I don't know the actor's name. And
Jeffrey Martin.
Is that his name?
Something more. He was in.
I've seen it in a couple of things.
About Roy Cohn.
Yeah,
Angels in America.
Recognition of those two people.
Mm-hmm.
They never to see each other again until the explosion.
Mm-hmm.
Who,
right?
Who recognizes who?
Well, then just who are you and I'm a Canadian.
Are you
American?
Canadian.
No, I'm a Canadian. We don't see many Occidentals around these days, right? So the third one was, oh, the homeless father. Why was the homeless father, alcoholic father, constantly dependent there? What was his purpose in the film?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, he was the leak. He was reading his son's diagrams about tracing how the killing company got the
right.
got the rights, and he leaked it. He
really?
Was the leak. Yeah.
No.
You're guessing.
He was the leak. He was the leak.
Who did he tell?
Why did they have a shot of him looking at his son's diagrams, tracing the money?
No.
Oh, I think that would be
way more. Chris Cooper was the leak.
Chris Cooper was the leak.
I don't know who the leak was, but I didn't.
I don't think it was the father. Here's the reason for the father, from my point of view.
Let's watch it again.
The father was a way for us to understand that Bernard Holland would have no respect for his father and could betray the senior partner. because that's what he was asked to do. He was asked to kill his father.
He didn't portray the senior partner.
Not the guy who had made the deals and who was introducing him around.
Right.
And
who's
so
that?
On.
The what?
The one who had to take the fall guy. The attorney.
What he said is something. What are you doing? Because he was talking to a bigger man,
right?
About his
not him.
Research about
did
him.
They kill?
Right.
He doesn't physically kill, but they have to give up more than Chris Cooper, Dalton. They have to give up more than Dalton. And who do they give up? Somebody from a law firm.
But
and it's his senior partner, but it's not the.
When I left this movie, I told my friend, I'm going to have to see this again in order to understand what's going on. I don't remember any of that.
So my point is...
I thought maybe I'd get Alzheimer's.
So my point is only that it gave us a reason to understand why he would be... that he could betray another father figure, or at least... do something that would be perceived as disrespectful to a father figure who had, in fact, not acted ethically.
That's a good interpretation, but I think it's a little parallel.
Further than it.
Well, that's why I said I would reach one more time and then I'd shut up.
You don't have to shut up.
No, don't.
I mean, this is now. Why do they kidnap him?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm betraying.
That's
I didn't understand
question.
The film at all, but.
But of course, we were the other fellow.
Who are they kidnapping?
Well, I have
George
a question before that. Connected, but that scene. Where they're meeting, where the waves are breaking.
Yes, there. Where he and Moussaoui, is that his name?
Mm-hmm. Well, they were on friendly terms at that point.
Well,
tense.
Kind of tense terms.
And then later, they're enemy. I mean, he's.
I think there was definitely some bad blood there. You know,
something, some history we don't know.
Yeah.
That's why he gets kidnapped?
No, he gets kidnapped because somebody ratted on him.
Moussaoui did.
Moussaoui.
Ratted on him about what?
About the possibility of
Emir's
her son.
If we are discussing the film just to try to understand the plot, there's something wrong.
I agree.
So let's go on.
I totally agree.
I mean, really. Don't you agree?
Yeah, even when you reminded me, I don't
I still can't follow it.
I just think one thing about the colors. The black and the white colors. With the caravan, like this whole caravan of like maybe it's black cars and then his is white, or is the other way around? And I can't even remember other than the end, but I think it was throughout, was it?
I think there was a bunch of black and white, but the other thing that was related to that piece was the interplay between video and film. You know, that there was this constant seeing somebody tell it on video and then back again to the real life. So there were the kids giving their suicide statements on video,
mm-hmm.
and then you saw people testifying to Congress on video,
and the different quality,
and the different quality of
lots
video
of
to the film.
Very
so that was
very
a lot
good.
Of pleasure.
Carry over
lots of tech. Good night and good luck.
From good night and good luck. So what were you saying about clothes? Were you just making some little gestures?
The men wore white
garments. Yeah,
garments.
Yes, the
women wore black.
Yes.
Yeah, there was a lot of black and white going on.
In the end,
the black cars and the white car. Or white cars and black cars.
It was white cars and black cars.
I think.
But I think that's just true of how it is. Women wear black.
Men wear white.
They have black and white cars. They don't have blue cars. They don't have red cars. They don't have yellow cars.
They have
it's
white.
It's black cars. And white.
Right.
You know, I don't think it's anything more.
Are the colors sinful, or what are they?
What
do the colors mean?
Well, it's that you don't want to be ostentatious. I think it's a cultural thing.
Okay.
The reason that men wear white
jaladas. It's fucking hot.
It's
hot.
So brutal.
So that's why they make their women wear black?
Only
well,
they
women don't go out.
Women don't go out, so they don't have to wear those.
Sometimes go out.
Well, not often.
They wear their burqa, that black burqa.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but they don't go out.
They do go out sometimes. Yeah, but you see, there was a lot of black women.
You said the servants.
Black cars and white cars. They were studied. It was really
there's the father.
Yeah.
This lawyer. character could have been much stronger.
Which one?
With just a little bit of extra dialogue.
Oh, the black guy?
He has such... that scene where he's doing the deal in the car, even that could have been stronger. It was a strong scene. The dialogue was strong, but it could have been much stronger with just a little bit of tweaking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he could have been the one of the main characters you followed and were interested in, but he was kind of like a side character. It could have been such a better character study for that particular character.
The black lawyer?
Yeah.
I was still impressed with the film. I think Roger Ebert, not that I'm necessarily a huge fan of Roger, named it as his best movie of the year.
But what does that mean?
I mean, it's Capote my best movie of the year.
What?
Really?
Capote
what?
My best movie of the year.
Mm-hmm. When I left the theater, I was kind of like trying to tune in on what people were saying, and I was thinking, you know, I'm interested in conspiracy theory. I'm interested in our history of involvement in those countries and oil and war and the Gulf War and stuff like that. So that's why I keep me here, and that's why I got something out of this film. But for people who aren't paying really close attention to what's going on in the world or what has gone on in the world, I thought they would be totally lost by this, and all they're seeing is the action, you know. All they're seeing is conspiracy, you know, and they're not following it, you know. And I wasn't following it in some instances, but I was just thinking that this
call me by what when he says call me by my first name, when he says call me Chris or whatever he says, that was a great scene right there.
Huh?
Don't you remember?
Mr. Dahl, no.
Call me
Dave.
Call me Dave.
We're fast forwarding through the film and commenting on it as it goes by.
Therefore, the weirdness of this comment.
Right, some of us can see it.
Do you think that this film could have been more clear?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Okay, who is he?
And it could have been
in relation to the others.
I think this is when they start. This is where the black and the
very
white.
End of the film.
But I think there's.
No, it's not all the way to the end.
This guy.
We're getting there.
Yeah,
that's the senior partner.
Remember the ghost?
That's the guy who gets up. That's the senior partner in the law firm who's been shepherding the company all this time. And.
He was cutting deals.
Which one?
Cutting deals. The boss didn't get a piece of the action either, so.
Okay, now he's going to.
Okay. So it's coming towards the end, though, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, we're almost to the end, and this is pretty amazing. Where George Clooney's colleague says, "Push the button."
The thing is, they could have done this now. They could have done it at any time. They didn't need George Clooney there. If they had the technology to take out this guy when he's going from point A to point B in the desert with a guided missile and satellite, then they didn't need George Clooney. And that,
no, he's being a renegade now.
Yeah,
he's not doing. He's doing this completely off the book.
No, but what I'm saying that the car was totaled by a remote guided missile.
Okay. Correct. I agree.
If they could have done this at any time, why do you need an agent there like George Clooney hiring somebody to off the Emir's first form.
Who's they and who's pulling the trigger locally?
Who's pulling the trigger locally? It's the CIA's in pulling the trigger.
What was George Clooney sent to do? I was very surprised when George Clooney had the meeting with Moussaoui and he was so open. In, you know, he says, "What are we here for? Here's what we're here for." Boom. And he says to him, "We want this guy gone." And who was the picture of? It was the Western
prince. The prince.
The Western educated
prince.
Son.
Yeah.
The one, the good guy.
Well, the Western pointing
the
son.
The one who wanted to reform.
Yeah.
The way I saw it.
Yeah.
And the other one was to, you know, keep it in the family.
Right.
The reform guy, and they mentioned this, was, and this is what Matt Damon was all hyped about, was for, you know, giving the money back to the people and putting money back into the country. And that was what Mossadegh was about. Mm-hmm. And that's why he was ousted by our CIA in 1954. You know, and
it's been the same thing over and over ever since.
Well, everything that's happened since then is because of.
Talking about in other countries too.
Well, that may be true too, but I mean, there's just so much history there that could have been pointed out, but it was just went right by. But it's kind of like he could be like Mossadegh was, and also Allende. Where they're going to nationalize the country's oil industry and not keep it for themselves, not keep it for a family, but put it back into the country.
What's happening in Bolivia? Bolivia is going without right now. It's just like, okay, now we have to do something here.
What?
Yes, they just elected this, the first time a native person has been elected head of the government.
And this is maybe part of an attempt to change things.
Yeah.
And his best friends are Castro and Hugo Chavez.
Hugo Chavez.
Also. Ooh.
Oh. That'll be interesting.
Well, what does Bolivia have that we want?
How about aluminum and tin? Yeah.
Some minerals?
Lots of
minerals. Lots of mines.
Lots of minerals.
Lots. And coke.
Not oil, particularly, but other things.
And coke.
Coke, as in...
It's the real thing.
As in coke.
As it's...
Cocaine. As in plant.
As in the coca leaf. So, let's see, what other conspiracies do I know about?
Well, I think that someone said that this is more realistic, and it does have a realistic sense, but I think that's linked to why it's confusing, because reality is confusing, you know, like it sort of gives you the experience of trying to figure something out. The problem is it did it so well that you figure it out, at least if you're me.
It's not fictionalized
enough
to make it easy
so
for us.
Ordered and, you know.
It was well constructed, but I'm saying that each part went by so fast, and you know what I mean, then you were on to something else that at least I didn't have the time to kind of be going, oh yeah, so that fits with this and then
yeah.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Was it you that said that, that when you came out of the movie, you thought about that most people didn't get it?
That was me.
That was Martin.
You, Martin. Mm-hmm. When we came out of the, when we were driving, got in the car and we were driving off, I said, you know, about 90% of people that are going to see this film are going to look at this and say, are you kidding? They don't do this. Isn't real, or this doesn't happen. And the reality is yes, it happens every day.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of how things move in the world, and I think that's
And I think that's actually a very important point, and perhaps the important point of the film. That you know, even though this was a fictional
story, as graphic was.
Yeah, I mean, this stuff does happen.
Absolutely. And that's the way it happens.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, as it was depicted, that is the way it is. Most people.
But see, to compare it to Traffic, that's a good comparison. But as I remember, my memory isn't what it used to be, but I remember that in Traffic, even though it was, you know, you were figuring things out, I could, you know, track it and kind of begin to see how things fit together and mm-hmm. what was happening mm-hmm. in the room. But this one,
I have to say,
I couldn't do it.
I totally agree with you, but I did try, I did start watching the British TV series on television of Traffic,
uh-huh.
because I had heard it was so good, and it was good. Even more like this. I was just kind of completely called in, and it's just getting right off.
That's interesting.
Well, some of the praise that this movie has received has been that, in fact, it required you, the viewer, to be really very much involved in figuring things out. That's some of the...
cool, but then...
Or required you to talk about it with five other people before going in.
And watch the DVD.
Who had some clues. I don't think film needs to do that.
Make you work that hard.
Yeah, and I think it, you know, even if you were working hard, and I was working hard, I didn't get it, and it just wasn't polished, you know. And I think part of the problem is that It was going off here, going off here. You're following this storyline and following this story, following the story about the black lawyer and his dealings with these people and these people, and who's he working for, da da da. And you're following George Clooney and who's he working for. And
I have a feeling that she's right about the father, and it's more important than we think. Otherwise, why would he be there? Like you say,
he's there for a reason.
I disagree with you, Mark, but I don't think the father had it together to tip anybody off. He didn't know who to tip off, even if he figured out what the things on the wall were. I think the things on the wall were to have a private place to try to figure out what's going on and not have it in his office where anybody else would see it. You know, he was his own little private workspace.
Well, no.
He was working
with a whole bunch of people in a basement somewhere going through files, so... He wasn't working on that alone.
Mm-hmm. Right. There was a war room, but I don't think it was his father who was going to tell anybody.
I don't think it really matters, but that's what I thought the purpose that he was there. I don't think it really matters who tipped off who, but I think the film wants you to film feels like it wants you to think it matters, and I think that a lot of this film had that feeling where you're supposed to think that. This is important.
And it wasn't. You ever heard the term red herring?
Yeah, but it wasn't.
There were some red herrings. That's what you're saying, is there were a couple of red herrings.
Well, I don't think it was intelligent enough to be a red herring. I think that...
You think it's a hanging thread?
Yeah, I think it's a hanging thread. That's what
No, a hanging Chad.
Oh, maybe that's a pregnant Chad.
Well, compare this movie, for probably obvious reason after I say it, with Good Night and Good Luck. You know, George Clooney's other kind of unusual movie as of late. Would you say that? Did you think that was a better film than this? I think you did.
I did. Yeah. Even though that too, I had problems with.
Yeah.
But it held together, and it wasn't going off in a bunch of different directions.
But it was totally different. It didn't have five tracks.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that for, you know, getting the audience to do some thinking and to work, but this had a kind of coldness,
But any thoughts about George Clooney and what he's been doing in his career with these two films?
Political.
I think he's...
Well, he directed the other.
I think he's trying too hard and not really being as successful as I think he wants to be, and that's why I think he's reaching for the you know, Good Night and Good Luck and this, and it's, you know, it sounds like it's very contemporary, on topic, you know, issues of the day, media control, and da-da-da. It sounds like it could be a really respected and important film, but it just missed. I think they both missed the mark. I think this one missed the mark much further than.
But he directed Father, and I heard him interview. He directed Good Night and Good Luck. I heard an interview with him. He's saying that it was very important because his father was in local news. They did a personal.
I heard the same interview.
meaning for him. I have a lot of respect for him because I think he's a person who could be a big Hollywood star making action movies and making zillions of dollars instead he's hooked up with Soderbergh to make things that are a little more interesting, lower budget. I'm sure he makes less than he would otherwise. You know, I think he could.
But he also is using his face and name to sell it.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
Both sell it in terms of getting other backing and sell it in terms of getting an audience, which
right.
is.
Right. One goes with the other.
Right.
And the backing comes with
right.
thinking it's going to be. Yeah.
Well, do you remember him in the. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was a highbrow, lowbrow movie.
Yeah,
right?
Anyone who would make fun of himself that way or put himself in a role, I thought that. Do you remember when he wears a hairnet at night? I couldn't believe it.
Keep that hair.
Yeah, just so that the grease.
I didn't remember that.
Pomade. That was a reoccurring.
They have
hair. Well, Siriana, what the brand was, is
some kind of hairdo, fancy hairdo.
Siriana.
What?
A contender? What? We're done with Siriana?
I think.
Are there other? Was there another film?
A quick question. The title of the movie, Siriana.
Good question.
Is it Syria, Iran, sort of a mixture of names of countries or in that region or something? Or what was. Does anybody know?
Nope.
I wondered that too.
Hmm.
I wondered that also. What, you know, why?
Yeah. Okay.
I love that organization.
Yeah. The
CLA?
CLI. No,
CLI.
CLI.
Mm-hmm.
Liberation.
Liberation of Iran. Right? It was the Coalition for the Liberation of Iran.
Mm-hmm. Well, was the what country was the emir from?
Was that?
We don't know. Unknown country.
Kuwait.
See, that's what I'm saying. It felt like. I just realized that it was two different countries.
They met in Lebanon, but it wasn't. He wasn't from Lebanon.
It was a device so as not to name any real country.
Right.
That's what I thought.
You're invited to the emirs for the weekend.
It was Syriana. That's what it was.
Right. That's the country.
Oh, that's the country. Yes.
Okay. We're done.
The emir from Syriana.
Right. Tall. Oh, no.
Over.